So I got with me Tian Nina Albert again after what's it been like nearly 2 years since we last had a chat? It's been a crazy amount of time.
Yeah, I think with the last chat we had was with Hurting Love, so that's 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while.
I was checking out the socials and I see the YouTube channel hasn't really had anything new since then. And what's been happening? You've been focusing on other areas?
Yeah, so like a lot of guys in the industry would know, it's quite difficult running the business side of being a full-time musician. So I've been focusing on building the client base, staying busy, to get the funding together to release some more music and then get some content going again.
No, completely understandable. I like to think of it goes in phases, especially if you're doing it alone. I mean, you as a solo artist, it's not like you can delegate or divide up the tasks. Hey, brother, you handle the social media, I'll handle this. You're kind of doing everything solo.
Yeah, it makes things quite a bit more challenging. I think for myself personally as well, this is social media part of the industry is the thing I probably struggle with the most. It's not something that I'm good at or enjoy doing as much as, the writing and the playing. And, I prefer the actual business finance side a lot more than I do the social media stuff. So, we're all good at some stuff and lack at other things. So I must say, I know I'm definitely lacking on the social media part of it.
No, I get you. Like, I don't think a lot of people realize how much work the social media side can be. I mean, these days there's people whose whole jobs is based around social media marketing and managing and shit like that. So it's a lot of work to try and balance that, and then everything else you got to do as a musician.
Exactly, there's a lot of people who think, oh, this guy just pitches up at venues over weekends and plays guitar and sings a bit. Unfortunately, if it was that easy, I think there would have been a lot more people doing it. There's a lot of admin that goes into it. You have to look for venues to play at, get your contracts ready, all that type of stuff, and then constantly be working on new material, practicing, making sure, you're up to scratch on everything. So there's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes that I think a lot of people miss out on.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And it's so like commonplace for us as musicians as well, as we forget, we don't realize how like people are shocked or by the amount of shit you just have to do. If you just want to make music, if you want to do live music, there's so many boxes to tick to if you want to actually make some kind of impact.
Not just if you want to make an impact, if you want to make a decent living, nothing these days is cheap. So, at the end of the day, it's not about the money, but it is called the music industry for a reason. It is a business. If you want to make money and be able to survive without having to struggle from day to day, there's a lot of effort that goes into it.
Yeah, 100%. Like you said, it's not about the survival, but you got to eat. You got to make enough money to continue to do it. People deserve to live relatively comfortably. You don't have to be a starving artist for your entire life.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a bunch of people that I wouldn't say enjoy that part of it, but there is a lot of people that I also know that they actually thrive in that starving artist space. They actually focus solely on the music. The business is quite secondary at the stage. That's where the creative minds sometimes strives a lot. So I get where a lot of people enjoy that aspect of it. I'm someone that enjoys the small luxuries in life. I enjoy eating well. I enjoy having some good coffee. So I need to work hard.
I can completely understand that.
Not much better than a good coffee and a good meal. There's not much that beats that.
Your style of songwriting and music has always been super fascinating to me. That cover of I'm Not a Saint is still one of my favorite things that of artists that I've interviewed. It's really, really good. I gave myself a refresher of it this morning. And yeah, and then also in regards to the like the Afrikaans alternative and stuff like that. I've noticed like an increase in like alternative artists coming out, specifically in Afrikaans and tapping into that market and doing really interesting and cool things.
So just on that, I'm Not a Saint cover. I don't know if you saw that Billy Raful was in South Africa a while back. I actually went to go watch his show and I was just blown away by this guy's talent. It's just amazing. But that's a bit off topic. I just wanted to put that in there. Yeah, so the Afrikaans scene, like you mentioned now, is actually growing quite a bit. There's a lot of guys in alternative scene that's coming up. One of the big names that's popping up everywhere is Zaan Zondekus. He's been doing extremely well. Yesterday I was at 20 years of Fokof Polisiekar then you see these bands that have been playing, like Fuzzy Geese, that's been playing together since 1997, if I'm not mistaken. They're not Afrikaans, but you know, they're building up into an industry where the alternative side is actually becoming quite popular now. So I think in the next couple of years, it's definitely just going to continue on growing. As long as you get guys out there that are willing to put hard work into the art form of alternative music, I think as long as you keep on doing that, then the industry, the crowds that will follow will continue growing.
Like, a lot of the guys seem incredibly passionate about it. So it's, I have no doubt that it's going to grow into something cooler. Who are some of your favorite, like, alternative Afrikaans artists that you've seen coming out of the woodwork?
You know, that's quite a difficult question. Only the last couple of months, I've actually been starting to listen to alternative Afrikaans music. And I think a lot of people think because my style of writing is more into the alternative rock side, it's that type of stuff that I actually listen to, where I'm actually someone that when I listen to music, it's usually just some guy with an acoustic guitar, singer-songwriter, you know. So, but like I mentioned, Zon Zonnekus is someone that I've listened to quite a bit over the last while. You know, his music's doing really well. He's a cool guy. Another songwriter in Afrikaans that I've been listening to quite a lot is Ashton Wheeler. He's maybe not really alternative, but he's into the songwriting. He falls into the songwriting realm for me, which is great. Then you've got guys like Stefan Janssen, that's also not really alternative, but he's trying to do the folk side to Afrikaans music, which isn't something that's really done often as well. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that are actually trying to make the larger scheme of genres in South Africa pop into the Afrikaans culture as well.
No, that's exciting to hear. Absolutely exciting to hear. I didn't have power for the entirety of yesterday up until like 6 o'clock this morning. And I was almost on the verge of messaging you and being like, hey, buddy, can we reschedule? Because I don't know if I'm actually going to have fucking electricity. And luckily, it's back on. So that's great. Let's be honest, though, like with the load shedding, with not even like load shedding, there's so many issues beyond load shedding at the moment. Like, so many areas are being affected by breakdowns, outages and stuff on top of load shedding. And it's affecting, obviously, not just the music industry, but our industries as a whole. It's affecting everything. And it's been a problem, but it's becoming even more problematic.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think a lot of musicians here, load shedding, you know, they're already worried because they, unfortunately, in the hospitality industry, if there's no power, you know, they can't be cooking food. They can't have artists at their venues, you know, so the guys aren't getting paid. So at the end of the day, the load shedding thing is costing a lot of guys money. And then when the venues tell you, all right, cool, we do have backup generators, you're like, when was the last time this thing was serviced? what size generator is it? Is it actually going to be able to pull my PA without? So there's so many things, and it's not something that's just in the music industry. You know, I think the whole of South Africa is quite struggling with the load shedding thing, but it's not something that I can speak to, as I'm not really part of other industries except for the music industry. From the music industry side, you know, venues are struggling. You know, the guys aren't making the money they should be making. Generator, the fuel and whatnot is costing them a lot of money. There's like a venue close to my house that I spoke to one of the owners recently, and he's like, they've got quite a big space. So they've got a few conference rooms. They've got a bar area. So it's quite a big property. And he said, like, their generator, the fuel cost of their generator for like 2-3 days is what they Eskom bill is per month. That's just ridiculous. And then you wonder why these guys aren't making any money, why so many venues are closing down, why they stopped doing music. You know, it's just not always lucrative for business owners to get musicians in. So that's something that kind of affects the industry a lot more than people would think.
Yeah, and then, like, for instance, inverters are a shit ton more expensive than people realize to install. So that's not even a feasible, like, option a lot of the time as well, especially for like a venue or a place that's running or pulling a lot of power. And they can't really hope to continue like that. And the one of the biggest things that's also a fuck up is that Eskom just changes that schedule like willy-nilly. They'll just be like, cool, it's stage six now. You're going out in 5 minutes. Have fun. And you can't plan around that. You can't prepare for that. And then I remember tuning into one of your lives not too long ago. You were doing a couple of like originals and covers and stuff like that. That was also cool. You're not doing the lives as regularly. I know that you said you're struggling with the social media side.
I've started again now this week. That's past. The plan is to kind of like gradually get back to doing a weekly live or whatever on probably TikTok. That's a TikTok, Instagram, whatever. I don't really know yet. But yeah, so the big problem I actually started having was the cell phone that I had is like years and years old. And I couldn't open any social media platform. I couldn't open any app without the thing freaking out. So it's like, I'm tired. I'm not going to try anymore. Like,
Yeah,
I
I
would just
get
get
you.
so frustrated. So now I've actually just upgraded my phone so that I can actually get back to doing some lives and getting back to the people. I think the nice thing about the social media lives is that I get to connect with a lot of people from around the country that I don't get to often. I used to do Mpumalanga and Limpopo tours quite often, and now it's to a space where, I get that side once every 3 months. The social media side, the lives help a lot of those guys to stay in touch, stay connected. I can still find out what the guys they, that's also something in the different provinces, different music plays on the radio stations, which means the influences of what people listen to change quite a lot. So things like that help a artist know what people are listening to and what people are enjoying.
Now, 100%. My recommendation would be TikTok because Instagram doesn't put you out to like strangers. Like with TikTok, you have a good chance of like random people stumbling across your live and tuning in and being like, "Hey, this dude's pretty cool. Let me hang around here for a bit. Let me drop a follow."
Yeah.
Where Instagram is purely on who's following you and who decides to actually share your live, which I don't know. Like Instagram, Facebook, anything that's Meta-owned, a lot of the people don't really have that kind of culture of sharing those type of things on those platforms. The
Yeah.
people who predominantly use those platforms, where I find that TikTok is very much the current app for trying to promote your music or trying to promote anything that you're doing. I mean, until the next big one comes along. But anything that's currently Meta-owned is, which is Facebook, Instagram. All of those is just it's pay to win. If you're not putting money into it, you're not getting anything out of it. It is extremely frustrating.
I haven't really been looking at the stats of the socials and stuff, but I must say, in that aspect, I've always kind of been, I don't know, lucky as well, especially on the Facebook side of things. My followers and stuff just organically have been growing for the last couple of years. I think we spoke about it in the previous interview we had as well, where in COVID times, my following was 700 people, something like that, to the place where we are now that it's almost at 8,000. So, it's just been organically growing for the last couple of years. Even with the Meta stuff, I've been quite lucky.
No, at least like that organic growth can be, I find, is a lot more beneficial than the paid for growth, because that organic growth, those people are more likely to connect with you on a personal like note. I found that through doing TikTok lives, I've actually made friends through people who have joined into those lives. I've made friends from places that I would not have expected, or in ways that I would not have expected, and have supported me. With like a feather that I would not expect. It's kind of like unnerving. I'm sure you've experienced this well as a musician, where you don't really expect that kind of support and, like, how do I say, like, I can't find the right, but support, let's just go with support here. Don't necessarily expect it, and it can be a little bit like unnerving sometimes. You're like, what's going on? Like, how to deal with fame.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people that, especially because I think a lot of musos are actually quite introverted, which makes it a bit more difficult at times. But yeah, it does happen that sometimes you meet someone on a live or, on social media that just, I think if I look at my social media, for instance, there's a lot of the same people that are constantly there, people that actually they found me on social media at some point, and then now they've been coming to gigs for the last 2 years. Yeah, it's very cool to know that, someone can just kind of scroll past a post that you made and be like, oh, this guy looks like he's not a complete asshole, and then they follow you around for a bit. It's a good feeling to know that people want to listen to what you have to say. And yeah, you just have people that want to hear what message you need to bring, and you get to connect, because, you know, at the end of the day, music to me is all about the connection of it.
Dion, on that note, where can people find your music? Where can people find you and get in touch with you and, you know, watch the journey of you getting back into social media and starting to actively reconnect with the audiences?
So those meta platforms we spoke about earlier, Facebook and Instagram. I must say my Facebook is probably my most active form of social media at the moment. I'm trying to get into the TikTok thing. So if you guys want to give me a follow there, send me a message on how I can improve, I'd appreciate it. Yeah, so, but the music you can listen to on any streaming platform. Like I said, the first next single, we're coming out the 27th of October. The first two, Hurting Love and Soldier On, is already on any platform that you enjoy, whatever it might be. So yeah, basically anywhere on the internet. That's the lovely thing about living in this day and age. Anything you need to find, you can find on the internet.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with me again today. And I hope you have a fantastic day. And I'm so stoked to see what's coming.
Thanks so much, Brad. It's nice talking to you as well. I'll see you on one of your lives again when you're ready.